My name is Don C. I'm an alcoholic. I also am a member of the Mohican tribe. And just a couple of things about me. I have 9 children. And out of this 9 children, I have 20 grandkids and 1 great-grandchild. And finally, none of my children have problems with alcohol. Most of them are in the program and have been for a long while. And of my 20 grandkids, I only have 1 is out partying yet, but the rest of them, they are not. But I'm after this one. I called her just yesterday and I said, "We got to have a grandpa talk." And she goes, "Oh no, not the grandpa talk." I said, "Oh yeah, we're gonna have a grandpa talk." But it's thanks to this program AA and to Al-Anon and to Alateen. It had quite an effect on our family. I never intended to quit drinking. I was beyond trying to quit. I didn't care anymore. You know, all the things I cared for was gone. It was sort of like one of those deals. And I think that I had divine intervention was one of the reasons I was able to end up there. And it was done through, I know my family, my relatives were praying for me. I know that they were, and I didn't see any results from that. And I think the Creator was trying to do something too, and I didn't see any results of that. But at the time I was married and my wife was in Al-Anon. And I remember the weekend that she caught on what Al-Anon was about. I'm telling you, my life changed. It just really, really changed. So I always say Al-Anon probably is the one that you know, really saved my life. In the beginning, I had 3 primary sponsors. One was a guy named Frank McKibben. He's out of Denver. And I call him my head sponsor. He was by the big book. I could not even mention a 12 and 12 to him. He didn't believe in 12 and 12. And he got mad at AA one time, and he took his group, Monday Night Group, underground in his house in the basement for 7 years. And that group did the work. They went through the book and they tore it apart and did all kinds of things. And they wouldn't let nobody come in unless he said that they could come in. He said, "It's my damn house, and I can tell you who I want in here, who I don't." Then they surfaced. And AA, in a way, they're sort of like, kind of like, if you're familiar at all with Indian country, we have a way of people earning their names. And so AA is kind of like that. You know, there's like West Side Gary, and, you know, we have these names for them. And all the AA people used to call this group the God Squad. That was their nickname for them. And then finally, 7 years later, they surfaced and they started sponsoring people. And it had a profound effect on thousands of us over that time. They really did the work on the book. They just tore it apart and did all kinds of you know, different things. And my second sponsor was a man named Don Pritz. I call him my heart sponsor. He also was a big book guy, but somehow the way that he went through this book, he saw it all different. And so I went to the work of him and he altered my life. It's like Kurt said, that man was one of those that I'll never forget. And we were friends for a long time. And then the third one that I took me through the work was a native guy named Johnny Looking Cloud. And he was sober a long time. And he was a Lakota Sioux man. And I went to see him when I was really in a bad place. And I spent time with him. And he started to talk to me. He said, I heard you talk. He said, "You used to call this a white man's program." And he said, "That's not what this is." He said, "So we got to start to look at that." He said, "Because you'll be in trouble." And so he started to, he used to take a stick when I was in his backyard, and he just draw diagrams in the dirt, you know? And so anyway, he said, I want you to take these 12 steps and I want you to put them in a circle, because that's how our culture is. Our culture is in a circle. And so he had me put 3 steps in the east, 3 steps in the south, 3 steps in the west, 3 steps in the north. The 3 steps in the east was like steps 1, 2, 3. That is the direction where you find your relationship with a higher power or God or whatever, like new sun, new day, new beginning. And then 4, 5, 6, that's where you found your relationship with yourself when you did the inventory. So now you knew your strength, you knew your weaknesses. Then 7, 8, 9 in the west, where you made your amends. Now here's where you established your relatives, your back with your community again, making your amends, sitting right, paying money back and all that crazy stuff. And then 10, 11, 12 is in the north. He said, this is the elder's wisdom. You are now back in harmony with our Mother Earth. And that was the way that he talked to me, to be in harmony with the earth. And so what I want to do is, I want to talk to you just about my current experience with step 11. My first experience is I go to page 86, I read the sentences, and I thought that's what I was doing step 11 till I was, my life wasn't changing. And this guy that was taking me through the work, he said, how do you do step 11? I said, well, I'll show you. And I read it, those sentences, and I said, done, you know? And he said, oh, no. He said, what that means is when it says think about the 24 hours ahead, you're supposed to think about the 24 hours ahead. And it never dawned on me that that's what step 11 was about. So I started to do that. And then if I was late for work, I do it in the car, and I do it halfway, and I always try to do it so I could say I did it, but you know, I guess it changed me a little bit, but it really wasn't like that. But it wasn't until I started to work with Johnny Looking Cloud that I saw what I was missing. So this is the way he started talking to me. He would tell me things. He was an elder that I didn't know him, but he said was, inside of every salmon is a blueprint. And that's how that salmon knows what it's supposed to do. Everything it needs to know is supposed to do. Inside of the moose, that's a different blueprint, and the moose knows what it's supposed to do. And inside of the dandelion, there's a blueprint, and the dandelion will always be a dandelion. And he said, when that salmon is acting like a salmon, it doesn't go around saying, oh, I wish I was a moose. It don't want to be no darn moose, because the blueprint that's inside is how it's supposed to be. So he said, the human being was not left out. He said, inside of you is a blueprint. And the way he said it was, inside of every human being is the innate knowledge of your own well-being. The creator put the principal laws and values inside of you are how you're supposed to behave and how you're supposed to conduct yourself. And I didn't know that. I mean, I didn't know, well, where is it, you know, or I had all these questions, but he would talk to me in this way. And then what he told me was inside of my head, at first it starts out as empty. Then a long time ago, the elders, they knew exactly how to put the right information inside your head. And it was called his teachings by the cycle of life. And the cycle of life considered of beliefs, attitudes, habits, and expectations. So certain things that you believe. And then what I found out was, you know, when you learn to tie your shoe, at first you got to think about it, and pretty soon you just do it automatically. It's a habit. Then you put on your shirt a certain way. At first you struggle, and pretty soon we're very automatic. We have habits that we do. Well, not just physically, but mentally. We have thinking habits. I didn't know that either. So I grew up on a reservation. My dad was an alcoholic. He was very violent when he was drinking. All that, our family kept secrets, all that stuff went on. And so I didn't really necessarily grow up with, supposedly according to what my blueprint was, because I grew up thinking I was no good and I was good for nothing. And then once you have that, you don't have to think about it. You're just that way automatically. You just automatically go there, and then you grow up that way. And then pretty soon you marry that way, and then you treat other people that way. I had none of that idea. But what Johnny Lukacs told me was, he said, you didn't stay and be in harmony with the earth like your grandpa. I lived with my grandpa. He said, you took alcohol and alcohol took you way into space. He said, you almost died. Then he said, in that space, there's a program called AA. And he said, in the AA, there's the 12 steps. And those 12 steps will lead you gently back into be back in harmony with the earth. And so a lot of this, I didn't even understand what he meant. I just nod my head, you know, when that old man was speaking like that. And so he got me into the 12 steps again. And so the 12 steps started to help me unwind, started to see, let me see things I never thought I would see before. And then what I started to find out was, I learned step two, came to believe there was a power, a vision work started to take place there, and then more vision work in the fear inventory, what would God have you be, and then more vision work in the sex inventory, what should I have done instead, and then, so what I started to learn from him was 10 and 11 is implementing a vision. It is showing you in that blueprint that you don't know where it is, it teaches you to go and to look inside of yourself and then to get the guidance, and then you can have this blueprint. Then he would tell me things like, the book tells you things that's possible. And he said, one of the things that says we have the ability to carry a vision of God's will in every area of our lives. Can you imagine knowing God's will in every area of your life? Like, what is God's will in your relationship? What is God's will at work? What is God's will in the... Could you imagine knowing God's will for sure in every area of your life? The book says this is possible, that we have the ability to do that. And so the way he explained to me, he says, this is where the 10 and 11, this is the one that helps you to see this thing that you're supposed to see. It'll help you to discover that. And so how he explained it to me, you know, this old man, he would tell me things, and sometimes it'd take me 6 months before I understood what he would say, but I would kind of try to do what he said, you know, like this. And so he told me, he said, in step 10 and 11, he said, first of all, what you do is, he said, you got to use the medicine. And so he taught me how to use sage, and this is a sage plant. And then I have like a prayer feather that I use for this. And this prayer feather, it tells you all the things you want to know about the universe. There's a man side, there's a woman side. The center of the feather is AA's 12 steps. That's the principles. And then at the bottom, when you first learn it, there's the feather is fuzzy, there's a lot of conflict. And pretty soon you start to learn to grow, and it starts to get better and better. You come closer to be in harmony with the principles. This is the way the old man, you know, taught me. So he said, this feather is a teaching feather. It'll tell you everything that you want to know. And he said, one thing about step 10 and 11, he said, there's two areas. It's always about your thoughts. Step 10 and 11, it's about your thinking. And he said, there's only two places your thoughts could go. One side is love, one side is fear. No matter all your thoughts, you can go love or fear. And he said, so what you do is you light your medicine. And so when I light this medicine, then it turns into smoke. And the smoke is where the spirit is. And so this is where the medicine is hidden there till you set it on fire and you smoke it. And then you smudge yourself, it's called, with this. So I learned to take step 11 in the morning when I would do it. And I would start to use the medicine. And I found out I was not violating any traditions using the Indian way, using the culture. And I wasn't going to hell because I do it and I didn't violate. And I started to find out this wasn't a white man's program. This program was about drink, helping us to stop drinking. It had nothing to do with me being an Indian or what. You didn't care whether I was an Indian or not. You guys just helped me to quit drinking because I couldn't quit on my own, you see. And so what I learned was, when I do the 11th step in the morning, I face to the east, new sun, new day, new beginning. When I do the 11th step at night, I face to the west, like sunset, let it go, nighttime. So that's the part where you start to let things go. And so what he showed me was the intent of the morning, step 11, is to position yourself in the love system. You got two choices, love or fear. So you position yourself into the love system. And so I light my sage in the morning, and so it's burning all while I'm doing this. And then these steps, how they seem to be me, they're like a magical or a cloud above us. And when you come under that cloud and you're, you know, 3 months sober working steps, it rains down what you're supposed to know that'll help you get your clarity that you need. Then you're stuck, maybe 3 years sober, you go through this work, you don't need to change nothing, to have to add nothing. But now that cloud says, oh, 3 years sober, I'm going to give you a little bit more insight, a little bit more depth, and I'm going to let you know what it is. And what I found out in my 44 years of sobriety is still doing that. I don't have to change none of the wording. I can still go to this big book, and it's still there. I see things in that darn book. I don't know how many books I've got underlined, and there's still stuff, you know, I'm discovering, you see, in that big book. And I think it's that cloud. It tells you the things that you need to know. So I don't do step 11 like when I first did. When I was first sober, it was okay just to read it. And I got a little more spiritual, and I was doing it in my car. And now, you see, I do it much differently. I do it with an intent. I don't do it in the car. I have my life designed around this. Sometimes when I'm in a certain position, maybe in trouble or in indecision or whatever, I will do the 11th step in the morning at sunrise. I get up before the sun comes up. For this reason, the elder told me he said, this is when the sun comes up, you first see it on the horizon like this. You first see it. From then, there's a window opens up. Birds are singing, dew is melting. A lot of changes is taking place in the universe. And when that sun is full, the window closes. That's how he explained to me. So if you sleep till 10 o'clock, your prayers is different. That's how he explained it to me. When you do it, he called it the powers of the grandfathers. It's the birds are singing, all these things are going on. That's a good time to pray. It's a good time to do that morning 11th step. So when I'm in trouble, sometimes that's when I do. I'm up at sunrise and I'm waiting for the sun to come up, you know, with a cup of coffee. And when I first see the sun, then I start doing the 11th step. So in the morning, the way that I have decided this was when I found out early in my recovery, the only thing helped me to never drink was these 12 steps. Everything else I tried, I drank. And I couldn't believe that I could come through and I would actually tell somebody about my sexual abuse. Secrets that I had, I couldn't believe I'd go tell somebody I stole money from them. They didn't know it and I had to go say, you guys made me really do some weird stuff. But what I found out was doing that, I was told that in those 164 pages, if you do what's in there, you'll never have to drink again. This program is not about slipping, I was told. And my sponsor, first sponsor, he said, there's 74 musts in the big book. That's how he was, you know. A must says you must do it. And, you know, he's always like tweaking on me, I guess. But anyway, once I got this idea, I said, I'm going to do this as my way of life. What I found out was these 12 steps, they taught me my culture. They taught me our native ceremonies. I didn't know those before they were surface. It wasn't until I got to these 12 steps and you guys as my teachers that I started to understand the power behind our ceremonies. I never saw that, you see, before. And so when I get things going, then the first instruction, so I go right by this big book. I do my morning meditation by the way the instructions are. If somebody gives me something really fancy that on TV or whatever to do, you know, the seven habits of this or whatever it is, if I can't reconcile in these 12 steps, I don't do it. Because this way that you guys showed me 44 years, I ain't drank and I ain't cheated and I ain't sipped and I ain't smelled nothing and I smoked no dope, nothing exactly. You told me if I did it precisely what was in here that I would do it, you know, to the best of my ability. And so when I light my sage and I get going, then I do that first instruction. This is to position me in the love system. So I think about the 24 hours ahead. So I have my cup of coffee, and this is where I might even end up making a to-do list. But if I go, oh, Saturday, you got to go change your oil. Whoops, that's Saturday, that ain't today. So when I find my mind goes ahead to a different place or it jumps like it does, then I got to come back because that's not what the instruction says. It says, think about the 24 hours ahead. And so that's kind of how I sit there and I do that. And I light my sage. If my mind will take off and I'm jumping out to next week, next year and all that crazy stuff, or well, I got to give an 11-step talk for Toronto, and what am I going to do? And whoa, that was a couple of days ago, you know. So I'm just kidding. But anyway, that's what it says. Then the next thing it says you consider your plans for the day. So here is where I might, if I have extra meditation stuff I want to look at, I do it here. In a nightly review at the very end, it says you ask for corrective measures. Then you go to sleep. This is where I get the feedback for the corrective measures. Consider your plan for the day. And that plan, I found out after about 5 years, that used to be my to-do list. And I found out from Johnny Looking Cloud that what that is, that looks at my intent of my being, my character. So if I was really a jerk yesterday, then when I take a look at this, consider your plan for the day. Today, I intend to be kind. Today, I intend to listen. Today, I intend to, so I bring my intent based on the nightly review. So I look at my intent. This is how I know my latest way that I've been taught to do it. And so I do it that way. Then when that's done, it says you ask God to direct your thinking. That is an important one for, I think, this reason. The way that the human being is designed, my head, it is designed to think. That thinking, what it does is it creates actions. Those actions are done to people or places or things. Then those actions create results. So some of the results, I hurt them, I tell them off, or I, you know, run my mouth again or whatever. The thing is, those results are measured by natural law called consequences. So the natural law says, if you think this and you act like this and it causes this, there's like, you're going to have to pay. There's some consequences you are going to get for doing so. So my thinking is cause and the result is effect. So what I learned, and when you ask the creator, that's what I call my God, the creator, to direct my thinking, now I've done something different. In front of my head, I've asked the creator to direct it. Now that's cause. So now my thinking is effect. And the actions and the results and the consequences, and my life improves when I have God directing my thinking. You see how that works. And then I change on God sometimes too. I did some talking to some of our native elders about God, about the creator. And I said, How did you talk about them? How did you pray? What did you say? And what I found out, in our language, we can say things that's not in English. Language is an interesting thing. There's things they can say that's not in English. And what I found out when they talked about the Creator, it was always a spiritual something, some kind of a spiritual name. Then what I discovered when the Europeans came here, when they taught us about God, they said, oh, by the way, God is a man. They made God a gender. And a long time in my sobriety, when I looked at God, I made him like a superhuman being. He wasn't nice, he was like really nice. And he wasn't kind, he was super kind. He was a good guy, and he was like a grandpa. So all my beliefs that developed was that God was this superman or super being. But then the 11th step changed that, and now I don't look at that today. So when I do my 11th step, I try to not make God a man or a woman. And you hear that a lot, well, I'm going to make God a woman. Well, go ahead, but then you just created a different problem with the same deal, you know. So what I learned is asking God to direct my thinking about the closest I could come to where the elders would talk about how they talked about God was very similar to a guy named Emmett Fox. Emmett Fox talks about these seven aspects of God. He said, God is a love. Well, the elders, they had that. And then they said, God is intelligence. It's not that he's smart. He is the intelligence. He is it, you know. And that's how the elders would speak. And then God is truth. It isn't like he knows the truth. He is the truth. And, you know, there's the seven, his principle in his life and his soul. And soul means he has the ability to shape himself into all different objects and not be divided. He can be a tree and then shape himself into a human being and shape himself into. And so it's all interconnected. And that's exactly how our elders always talked about the Creator. They always said the center is everywhere. And I never understood what that meant, you know, till I come to you guys and started to let these 12 steps here, show me new ways of looking at things. And so what one of those seven things that the Creator is a spirit. So that's how I look. I'm talking to a spirit, and I'm not talking to no man. I'm not talking to grandpa, like I used to say, always like a grandfather elder, and I had him. An old gray haired and sitting on a, you know, and smoking a peace pipe and everything, and was limiting my beliefs. So I had to change, I chose to change it. And I'm very comfortable now looking at the Creator as not as a human. Now I don't say him or in English, you either got her, him, or it. That's your choices. But that's a language. You have him, her, is it. In our language, we have more choices. We have a way to talk in the spiritual world that doesn't exist in the English language. Because the way the English language, you know, was developed, like for example, in our language, if you take an organizational chart and you ask the elders to describe this organizational chart, they can't do it. Our language does not exist like in boxes or squares or levels or sub or more managers or less managers or supervisors. We don't have none of those words in our language. They say it all, you see, all the way differently. And so what I learned is to get into this love system. And the way that the elders talk about it is they call it the protection way. Like a baby is in a cocoon, it's like in the womb, that's the protection way. So when you place yourself in the love system, they say, you put yourself, there's like a shield, a field around you, that when other things come to you, you don't react. So if I'm just like my normal thinking, like my own self, if I'm not protected and you call me a name, I'll come right back at you. But when you are protected, you don't do it that way. I guess how you say is you kind of live being able to easily take the higher road. You don't have to retaliate. You don't have to get even. You don't have those thoughts. But that's by doing, thinking about the day, asking God to direct your thinking. Then there's three things to divorce your day from: self-pity, dishonesty, and self-seeking motives. That's what it says. Divorce, I looked up the word divorce. It means gone. I'm asking you to not have these things show up, so I have to wrestle with them. That's what I'm asking. This power, who is intelligence, principle. Can you imagine solving a problem and you got the one who owns the intelligence solving your problem? That's the heavy stuff, you know. And so the book talks about that, we form a sixth sense. It'll talk about the fourth dimension of living. That's some heavy stuff. What is that? You know, so when it's my own thinking, I have length, width, and height. So everything is in the physical world. It has a dimension. But this says, oh, by the way, there's another addition, and it's in the spiritual world. It's called the sixth sense. So I have the ability to look at physical width, depth, and I don't make my decisions from that. I go to that spiritual, and I have the creator who knows about love and life and principle and intelligence. And that's the one who's telling my thoughts, this is what to think. It really works that way. It isn't like, it actually says it'll become a way of life. Not that you do it every time perfectly, but boy, compared to when I was first working with Johnny, you're a looking cloud. He told me, he said, your head is like an inner ghetto. He said, it's really dangerous what you have in your head. He said, you shouldn't ever go in there alone, because every time you do, you mug yourself. That's what was in here that I was making decisions from. Can you imagine? That's why I ended up divorced. Who could live with a guy that had an inner ghetto head? It didn't work. But now I'm more in harmony. I haven't gotten an idea what that blueprint is, because the steps have shown me. It's not like it's a secret. I'm starting to realize there's some things inside of myself. It's really there. I know, you know, what is how it's supposed to be. And so it's about being in this. There's another place to go, this higher place. And then it says, when you do these four things, think about 24 hours ahead, God direct your thinking. It says, now go think. You don't say to be shy and, well, what am I supposed to do? I wonder if this is God's will. Was that God's? Well, this could be, maybe it's this. Maybe I got to flip a coin. Listen, it's a go think, because you now have God direct your thinking. If that makes some sense. Now, I know, I'll just say this. I know this. If something happens and I trigger and I get into the fear system, I know when it happens, because it says, you will experience two things, irritation or doubt. When you get irritated or doubt, you cross the line, you're now in the fear system. Now, when you get in the fear system, this is the way my mind works, is first I'll get a little irritated, and then I look back at the bench where all my character defects are, and I say, hey, anger, come on in here. I think I got something going. Anger comes in there and says, oh, yeah, I see that. Let me hit some buttons, and pretty soon says, justification, come on in. I think I got him going. And then they call in rationalization. Come on in. We need to make some logic to why it's okay to tell this guy to piss off, you know. And how long does this take? 15 seconds. It take no hour. I found out my character defects work in teams. They don't work alone. And with certain people, I got specialty teams, like with my wife or somebody I really care for. The team is already formed, you know, like football. I blow a whistle and that right team comes in and I just let her have it, or whoever it is. So what I found out is over in the fear system, there's a round disc and you can hop on that disc. The name of that disc is called Pause. So right, if you're caught up in working with a team, you go hop on that disc and you're asked for the right thought or action. That disc, it floats back over that line and brings you back into the love system. That's what it does. It brings you back in there, but it does, the pause exists in the fear system. That's what I found out. So I found out that pause. So the trick is, somebody made me a bracelet and it says the first 5 seconds are golden. And what that means is if I catch it just when I'm irritated, I'm not dealing with the team. If I don't catch it right there, I'm not dealing with the team. That's what the deal is. And so I work on that. And so when our thoughts are in a different place, a plane, a higher plane, that's really good. Then it says at nighttime, I'm going to do my performance appraisal. God's going to do my performance appraisal constructively. And he's going to say, okay, here's 13 questions that you're going to ask. And then we'll let you know how you did. So first of all, he says, was you dishonest? Now I can think, all right, two times that I can recall, I probably, and how about self? I had some selfish going on today too. And how about some fear? Yeah, I had some fear. So what happens, let's say I don't do a nightly review. So I have this plate at nighttime and I get 1 pound of resentments, 2 pounds of fear, 1/2 pound of selfishness, a little bit of dishonesty. I go to sleep. Then I come back in the morning and I bring that plate and I'm ready to do my morning meditation. And so I asked God to direct my thinking and I got this plate of stuff that I didn't clear out. And so then I go through that stuff and then things don't seem to work exactly right, but I'm winging it pretty good. Then by Thursday, I'm wondering why the hell does the step not work? Because I got now 15 pounds of crap on this plate because I never did anything to get rid of it. And then, you know, I'm just panicking. What is going wrong? And then I'm calling sponsors. And what am I? I need a meeting, or I gotta go through all this stuff. The reason is you didn't clean the damn plate. So what I learned was I got to go through these 13 questions. It asked me, were you dishonest? Is there somebody you should talk to somebody? And I found that one is really important. Kurt is one. If I got something that is a secret, I'll call him and I'll tell him. And it's not to get his advice. That's not what the instruction says. It says you got to tell it. It's by the telling of it, then the Creator will give you what it is you're supposed to know. I have a lot of respect for him. He's really a good, I use him a lot, for his stuff. He does the work in, so sometimes he does give me an answer or some choices or some alternative thinking that I couldn't think of. I'm going through some stuff right now and we talk most every day and he's really helping me a lot. So then it goes down to 13 questions to answer. Was I kind? Did I be a really help? Then one of them, it says, be careful to watch for 3 things, morbid reflection. I can't remember them off the top of my head. Morbid reflection, worry, but it tells you to watch for these 3 things. And that is really important. Could you imagine of all the damn problems we could have closing the day out, they'd mention those 3 because they're a block to the power. Worry, remorse, morbid reflection, they're a block to power. And so what happens if you have it? And you ask God to remove it. Then there's another, then it says there, you ask God's forgiveness. And then it says, you ask for corrective measures. What is a corrective measures? So I ask for that. I say, okay, we've seen the plates clean. You've seen what was on there. How is it I can do better tomorrow? And then this is where I listen to consider my plans for the day. Then it also talks about indecision. Indecision, you can still be in the love system, even though you're in indecision. Then it says you're to ask for some things, for an inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. Then it says to relax and take it easy. So what happens if I ask and God don't answer and I get all worried? I have learned I only ask God once. I don't go back and ask him again. I do it once. And if I find that my emotions get high, I ask to get be made calm, not ask for the answer again. Because be still and know, it's in the quiet where the answers flow. So if, and the book says, relax and take it easy. That's how it says to do it. So after I ask for an answer, I got to stay relaxed. And so that's kind of my deal on 10 and 11. I don't change it. I probably will do it different next year, but that's the way my current experience is with it. And I just thank you for letting me share on that.